All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast. Jeremy Moss here, Matt Carrelly. We are talking, Matt, Hawaii. Did I say it? Hawaii? The proper way?
I think that's the proper way to say it.
Especially like a Polynesian person or Hawaiian, they always go Hawaii. So there you go, Hawaii.
Yeah, and especially if you want to get real particular, you got to have the apostrophe in there as well.
Yeah. We're talking Hawaii Warriors football, obviously, as we get to. We're not going to say Hawaii every time. We'll say Hawaii or Nick Rolovich or Cole McDonald. This is our second last preview. Thank you to our Boise writer. Is it a thanks to Raj to wanted to say, he, in his words, saved the best for last?
Yeah, I think it's fair to give him credit.
I also like your retort to maybe not get used to being runner-up, but that didn't work as well.
Nah.
Can't win them all, right?
Well, they were runner-up in the poll, which is why Hawaii is going first. So
true. There's only two people.
It's all in how you interpret it.
Exactly. So we are. We have two away. Hawaii plays a week zero game versus Arizona, and we're going to blast through this bad boy because we've got to get going. And but really quick, there's only one correct answer to who you invite to your tailgate. It's correctly Nick Rolovich as a head coach, right?
Yes.
Okay. Those who are saying Brian Harsin, give me a break. Like I said, he would talk to you, then block you on Twitter or something weirder. So just say, how do you block somebody in person? Just do you need a restraining order? Is that what the real life purpose is of that? Change it around. Just saying, that's probably what it is. All right, we can't banter. We need to get going here. So sorry, Hawaii fans, I'm going to banter about random stuff. But here's the Warriors football program. You know what the number one thing for me is for them this year?
What's that?
Their entire coaching staff is back. No changes. Everybody's there. Continuity. Year two of the run and shoot, it's going to be emoji fire, I'm going to say.
So you're feeling optimistic then?
More than our buddy Rogers, who I keep bringing up, but yeah. Because he's like, 5 wins. I'm like, well, hold on there, buddy. We'll see.
You know what? And I think that this is, I think maybe Bill Connolly put it best in his preview, which he put back out in April. Hawaii strikes me more than any other team in the conference as being like the champions of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You could see almost any scenario playing out, from you know, winning a division title to stealing a conference crown to going 3-8, just because they have a lot of things going for them, but they have a lot of key pieces from last year's successes that they're going to have to replace, and they were a little bit lucky last year too, and just in the fact that they were 4-1 in games that were decided by 8 points or fewer. So that's a difficult thing to replicate from year to year, but because they have so many contributors coming back, even despite the a few significant losses, it's not going to take much to see the ceiling, but it also doesn't take much to see them stall out or even take a step backwards either.
I can't disagree. I think their floor is much higher than 3-9, maybe 3-10 or 4-9. Not to say like a bowl game's guaranteed, but I think they'll be bad. Like if the bottom falls out, it won't be like a terrible, terrible season.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll do well enough what they can do. I know you look at last year, the first half 6-1, second half they were had to win one game. We're 1-5 the rest of the way. I think 1-4. I think whatever it was. 13
Yeah,
games.
They lost 4 in a row down the stretch, and that was really when after the Wyoming game, which they won, by the way. Things got a little more difficult. They lost 4 in a row to BYU, Nevada, Fresno State, and Utah State.
Which were pretty good teams they lost to, essentially.
Yeah.
All bowl teams.
And it was really a stretch where not only the offense was struggling for several reasons, which we'll get to in a moment, but the defense really fell off a cliff at that point, too. In the stretch that they had, especially after their opening couple of weeks against Colorado State and Navy, if you look at Bill Connolly's stat profiles, I've mentioned percentile performance before, and the defense actually played pretty well for most of the first half of the year. They had, 4 games where they were above 50%, and they had 2 of them, home versus Duquesne and home versus Wyoming, where they were at 85%. But it was that month of October that really kind of bit them, and where they had 4 straight defensive performances in a row underneath the 10th percentile. So again, this seems like there's a lot of variation at play, but maybe that's a good way to start talking about the offense, which by and large last year led the way.
Yeah, that's the case. And also remember, Cole McDonald wasn't healthy the whole year.
Yeah.
So there's that, and we're what's the freshman?
Chevin Cordero.
Yeah, Chevin Cordero. I want to say like Cordaro. I'm like, I knew it was halfway there. And when he came in, he played reasonably well.
Anymore, but he did play pretty well off the bench last year.
Yeah, and so I don't know if that was an injury thing, because that was my one concern, is he really the starter? But then we find out it was an injury thing for McDonald, partially why he may have not finished out all those games.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like, again, we go to the offense, run and shoot. It worked extremely well. Caught off guard. They went for it on fourth down more often than they did. For my liking, maybe a touch a bit aggressive for Rolovich, maybe hold it back a tiny bit, going for those fourth and twos at your own 25-yard line perhaps. Maybe not go for those, even though statistically and probability, it's a better chance to make it than punting and giving the ball away. But sometimes it's like, just give it up for one more day. But
see, I don't know that I would disagree with – I don't know that I would agree with that, just because when you look at what they actually did on fourth downs last year –
they were good.
The only team in the conference that had more fourth down attempts was Air Force. You know, they had 38 attempts on fourth down, but they were actually right around 58% converting those. So it was a little bit better than 50-50. And I think that, you know, shying away from aggressiveness is, you know, one of the things that gets a lot of coaches in trouble.
Yeah.
So I take the opposite tack. You know, a lot of the research suggests that coaches should be more aggressive. Mm-hmm. You know, if they can't get it on third down, which that was something that Hawaii struggled with last year. They were 10th in the conference in third down conversion. They only converted 33% of their opportunities. So what does the season look like if they choose to punt, you know, half as often as they chose to go for it on fourth down? All of a sudden, you're taking a lot of potential points off the board. So the pedal to the metal kind of attitude that Rolovich had that I think fits really well with the run and shoot, because you know they're going to want to throw the ball and be aggressive down the field, getting the ball to the playmakers. Yeah. And with a guy under center like Cole McDonald when he was healthy, it paid a lot of dividends.
Maybe for me it's just that if they're backed up deep, I understand all the points. I agree with all of it. But I'm just saying if you're backed up deep, maybe that is a time not to go for it. I'm not saying do the – oh, here's a great time for a fake punt when they're sitting at or a fake field goal when they're sitting like at the 40, you know what I mean? Or it'd be like a 60-yarder. Like, I don't know. It's just, the opposing team's 40, not their other 40. I just think if you're like in the shadow of your end zone, maybe you should kick it. I don't know, but whatever. It's just my personal thought. But overall, you're correct. Maybe just feel a position in touch for me. I want to have, for me, let's just say if you're at the 30-yard line of your own, that's fine to go for. Anything for farther back, I'd probably kick the ball. For the most part.
Well, here's something that really jumped out to me. If you go back and look at last year's numbers, there's a huge disparity in how successful Hawaii was when they were able to stay ahead of schedule. And maybe that plays a factor into how often they went for it on fourth down as well. Just percentage of first downs that came on first or second down, Hawaii was third nationally. They had 78% of the first downs they gained were picked up on first or second down. And then by contrast, if you look at their success rate on third downs, they were 128th. And so I think when you have that particular kind of struggle in those situations where you need to move the chains, that's another reason why it's probably more worth it to be more aggressive.
No, I agree with it. So if we're going to be more aggressive, but let's just say more efficient a little bit, you run and shoot and think, oh, it's all pass, pass, pass. Yes. But, like, they need a good running game because McDonald, and again, like the injury thing, his running ability was limited that second half. Him running the ball was a reason the run and shoot goes well. It's like, well, why is that the case? But they have, like, one back. They can do a bunch of read options, read pass options, even one back and shotgun and four wide. That's still a possibility to do. And he led the team in rushing last year. But what they need is Fred Holly, the third, or Dayton Futura to come up and do something.
Yeah, and to that point, that was one of the things that, you know, fell off in an almost linear fashion throughout the season, you know, and you just look at it month by month over at CFB Stats, you know, they mentioned, you know, in the first six games of the year, which basically, you know, their August games plus September, the running game was actually pretty good. It's not adjusted for sacks or anything, but they averaged 4.7 yards per carry and they had 8 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 7 games of the year, you know, and even just breaking it down by October, November, and then their bowl game, they dropped from 4.7 to 3.3 to 2.5 to 1.8. And they only had 3 rushing touchdowns in the second half of the year.
And two were McDonald's.
And a lot of it fell on McDonald, you know, to try and make things happen. He ended up as the team's leading rusher after you adjust for sacks.
Yeah.
You know, Fred Hawley and Dayton Faruda were fine. You know, they did combine for right around 900 yards or so, and they did have six touchdowns between them. But they just need a little more from that running game. They needed the running game to pick things up, especially when the schedule got difficult last year.
Yeah.
That element of the run and shoot just kind of disappeared. And when that enables defenses to tee off on your quarterbacks, that's where you start running into problems. Like the fact that, you know, for instance, Cole McDonald had a sack rate of 6.6%. But as a team, between what he and Cordero and Jeremy Musa, who saw a little bit of time under center, on the whole, they were 104th nationally with an 8.2% sack rate. And that's one of those things that the running game, if they could be more effective, even just maybe catching passes out of the backfield, they didn't really do that much of that last year, but they had, you know, Faruda had a 90% catch rate and Fred Hawley was 8 of 8 on his targets. So maybe that's another element that, or another wrinkle that they can incorporate a little more often this year to give the running game new looks to keep defenses off balance.
Yeah, and I don't recall what happened last year. Like, Fred Hawley, like, his first half, you mentioned a big drop-off, his first three games, 68 versus CSU, 82 versus Navy, 100 versus Rice, three touchdowns, and double-digit carries. He only had double-digit carries one time the rest of the way versus San Jose State, where he had a decent 52 yards. Yeah. He had three carries, two carries, one, like, minus two games of minus a negative yards with only one carry each versus Nevada and Fresno. And so they need, if they can get up just a little bit more, like, with, if they can get, let's just say, what did they get last year between those top three guys? I'm not even including Miles Reed. We'll see what he does or how much he'll play. Those three guys had about almost 1,500 yards. If they can get to 2,000 combined between the three, I think that would be really good for this offense. In any combination, obviously running game more, but let's just say it's like, 700 for the two backs and 600 for McDonald. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's too far-fetched to get.
No, I don't think so either.
And doing that with what they did offensively, a passing, I should say, should be great. And then looking at passing, we'll just kind of blast through here. John Arcega is gone, which is a huge deal. He's drafted by Detroit, I want to say.
He went to Seattle.
Seattle. So him and which will be a good opportunity to play with what happened to Doug Baldwin and everything. So, well, I guess not good for Baldwin, but good for Arcega, I guess, the opportunity. But one thing, looking up with the, because they're already in camp right now. They have the week zero game. They've already done about a week's worth of practice. Looking over at a guy who does really good, who is Stephen Tsai over at the Hawaii Warrior World. I got it there. It's like the rural juror from 30 Rock, if you remember that, folks.
Yeah, I do.
Say that 10 times fast. So looking at, like, they're saying the slotback Lincoln Victor reminds him of John Arcega, which, if he's anywhere close, that's a pretty big deal, right? Because Arcega was amazing.
I mean, the nice thing about a run-and-shoot offense is that you have a ton of options. Mm-hmm. And even though losing Arcega is going to be significant, they're still bringing back both Cedric Bird and JoJo Ward.
Could be the two best receivers in the conference. Could be.
They very well could be. And, you know, between the two of them, they still averaged, Ward averaged 17 yards a catch. And Cedric Bird had a catch rate of 67%. And they combined for about 1,800 yards between them. So while they have a lot of targets to replace, they got guys who could potentially step up into that slot back role, and maybe if they don't reach Ursua's exact bar, if they can have
combination,
you know, if they can get two guys to do what Ursua did last year with like 80 or 90 targets, I'm sure they're going to be happy with that. And maybe that's a guy like Melky Stovall, who transferred from Cal, and he's, you know, stepping in the lineup. Maybe it's a returner like Jason Matthew Charsh, who showed pretty well in limited playing time last year. He only had 9 catches, but he did have 152 yards and a score. Maybe it's a JUCO guy like Jared Smart, who's gotten a lot of positive looks from... that's the nice thing about this particular podcast, is Hawaii's in fall camp already now.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the early returns are that he's looking pretty promising. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a guy like Kumoku Noah, who didn't really see a lot of playing time last year, but did see playing time in 2017. I think it's safe to say that somebody is going to step up.
Options, yes.
but the big question is who and how much.
I think it's obvious Bird and Ward are going to be the two guys who step up. Like, they combined, like I said, for 16. Their two numbers were slightly above Ursura's one number.
Yeah.
And so I guess one thing we want to see is maybe Ward having a better catch rate than 50%. That's not ideal, despite having, what, 9 TDs, 865 yards, and 50 catches. If those two guys, like, why can't those two guys combine for, like, 150? I don't think that's unreasonable. And then somebody else step up, come down the back way. And like you mentioned as well, if they get the running game involved, and maybe, like, Holly and Fertura get, I don't know, 50 combined catches just to mix it up. This unit, even losing the best point receiver probably in the conference or close to it last year, they're going to be fine. They're going to be – I think they'll be as good as last year. And so this run and shoot, like, everything's there. Coaches are back. Running game's back. Quarterback is there. Look at the offensive line. They bring back every significant offensive line starter. Like, they bring back five guys who have double-digit career starts.
And to me, that's the one thing – that makes the offense work more than anything else is the fact that, you know, their offensive line is deep and it is now very experienced. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of respects, it's young and talented. And, you know, even though I mentioned the fact that they had a fairly high sack rate last year, that's one of those things that could be improved upon with more experience. Mm-hmm. You know, Solo Vaipulu was a true freshman, started all 14 games. He was an honorable mention.
Pretty good.
You know, J.R. Hensley was one of the best pass-blocking guards in the conference. And just as a unit, if I remember correctly, according to Pro Football Focus, the only line that was better at pass-blocking than Hawaii was Utah State. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe you can say that there's a little bit of concern because there was some news at a camp today that Cole Lavau is going to miss at least a little bit of fall camp. I don't think it's meant to be, you know, totally significant, but that's one of those things to keep an eye on is, you know, you look at the starts that they had last year and, you know, they had four guys start all 14 games. So if that depth gets challenged a little bit in a way that we didn't really see last year, it's going to be incumbent on the guys elsewhere on the 2 deep to really step up. You know, maybe they move Laval. I'm trying to remember because there was some switching going on last year. I know Laval started at right tackle and end of the year at center. You know, maybe they move Joy Nuwano Kuiki. I hope I said that correctly.
Good try.
You know, back into the lineup temporarily. You know, exactly. Maybe a guy like Emil Graves or Gene Pryor. You know, they've been in the program for a while. They might be able to step up or something like that. So that's something to keep an eye on, but maybe more so than McDonald or the receiving core. If not necessarily this year, I feel like the ceiling for these guys going forward is extremely high.
I agree. Yeah, it's like you mentioned, you know, a couple sophomore, junior, that even the backups beyond them, assuming like who have started last year is more likely going to start again. They have upperclassmen as well back there.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Vupulu. I did not mention Il Manning, who was the other true freshman on the line to start all 14 games. And I'm pretty sure Hawaii was the only team in the country last year that had a true freshman start every game. I know for a fact they were 2 of 4, if I remember correctly, just period, across the FBS.
One thing I need to check on here, I'm just looking through, somebody mentioned, this is not for sure now, I'll have to maybe go listen to their podcast or their show, Bobby Curran, they're saying Cole McDonald's injured.
Is he really?
Well, I'm looking here like on some of the comments on the Hawaii World, which... it's the comments of the guys, but they're saying on 1420 AM, Bobby Curran shows reporting McDonald is injured. But we don't know. I'm looking through and kind of going through everything else. Oh, never mind. I apologize. That was Lavelle. Jeez. I didn't scroll down far enough. Never mind. You were correct. It just said McDonald. I scrolled down one more, and it said, I was looking up the Lavelle thing you mentioned. I'm like, no, clarification, Cole Lavelle. Never mind. Scratch that. I did not read properly. But let's carry on. So here's the thing. Like, the most important thing for a team basically is the offensive line, in my opinion. They're almost the most important thing. If they can improve the sack rate and the run and shoot offense, they're going to pass a lot. If they get an extra couple sacks or a lot TFLs or something against them, not the end of the world for the style of play they go with. Still not what you want, but if they're average, like if you break it down like an actual percentage or a per game type deal or per play, if it goes that deep, it's okay. They'll be fine. But if they get a couple here or there, it's not going to be the end of the world. But the experience at every position, they're all back. Like, that's why I hate people say, oh, they might win 4 or 5, maybe 6 games. Like, no, their offense, like, I don't think it's far-fetched for me to say this very well could be the best offense in the conference and not even close. Look what they did the first half of last year, right? Like, I don't think it's far-fetched to say. Like, last year, there's a reason when Cole McDonald, our midseason player of the year, they're 6-1. Yeah, schedule was fairly soft. but they were it wasn't that they were just doing well on offense. They were doing extremely well and basically matching Utah State last year for when you compare the half the season for the best games each team played.
Yeah, I mean, just by looking at S&P Plus, last year they finished 63rd on offense, and they're projected this year to be 58.
Seems low to me.
And that might be a touch low, yeah.
So I'm hyped in Hawaii. Like, basically, they're my Air Force of the West Division, I'll say, maybe.
I mean, I think that's a fair assessment.
For, like, overall. So let's get to defense really quick. We're going to blaster here. So defense is an issue for Hawaii. The big loss there is obviously Jelani Tavai's with the Lions, who apparently is doing quite well in camp right now, was a sucker.
Who knew?
We knew. Hey, I'm just saying. We know.
I'm just saying, we knew.
People, pay attention
to us. We're the people who stay up until midnight and 1 a.m. watching Hawaii games. And you don't want to fault people in Detroit for not doing that. But you guys got a ball on your hands out there.
Yeah. However, okay, I get it. No, it makes sense. Like, if you're getting Hawaii guys, like, especially defenders, like, what'd they do? I just saw Cole McDonald. I heard of him. The guy being in the fake outfit for somebody trying to track on that one game. But if you don't know him, it's fine. Because if you're a casual NFL fan or even a diehard NFL fan, you don't know every guy getting picked. And part of it was he was not many people even had him in top 100. But he's gone, which is a big deal. Those Zeno Choi, their top defensive lineman last year, who led the team or led that position in like tackles and TFLs or almost TFLs and stuff. But one guy, you know, it's gonna be really good. Kamina Padeo. Is that correct? I see it. Padeo.
Kamina.
Padeo. Yeah. Kamina.
Yeah.
Oh, there's an N in there.
I think you're forgetting an N in there.
Oh, I thought you said Kamina. No. Yeah. Kamina.
Kaimana. Yeah.
Kaimana. Jeez. Sorry. Jeez. I should stop talking.
It's okay. We were ready for this.
It's the Hawaiian team. Even though I should know this for the BYU teams I talk about with all the consonants and the apostrophes and every single vowel but one. Because I should know by now, when you look at a name that's a Hawaiian, Polynesian, you say every single vowel, essentially, in the name.
I spent a lot of time looking at the pronunciation guide and the media guide, I'm not going to lie.
Do they have an audio version of that for Hawaii? Because they should.
Oh, man, that would be amazing.
There are some teams that do that, so that's a good tip for you out there in other in Hawaii land. So, but he might honestly be their best defender up front. And they bring most of the guys back. So losing just like Zeno is not that big a deal. And they bring back upperclassmen. And I think overall the defense, I think the offense, not that they burned them ever, but with the offense scoring so many points like they did last year, if we expect that to be the same, the defense doesn't have to be perfect. They just need to be, honestly, hold teams to about 20 points or less, and you'll be fine in most games. Maybe 20, and maybe even 28, because if your offense is as good as I think it is, your defense has room for margin of error to not mess up, but have a bad game and still be fine and win.
No, I totally get that.
Because last year they gave up 35 a game, which is way too much. If they can get to like 25 a game, be middle pack, which was what Air Force gave up, 25 a game, that could be an extra win or two. And so it's like they have a couple players back, like we mentioned, but they don't have to be amazing. Basically just be average overall. And that'll be good enough to get this team to contend for the West.
And, I mean, this might be a critical year, especially for the guys up front, because, I mean, you mentioned losing Choi and losing Tavai. Pretty much every other contributor, you know, Padeo included, is coming back. And so I think that there are pretty high expectations for some of these guys to take another step forward and contribute. You know, I'm talking about guys like Samiula Akteu.
Good job.
You know, he did have 3 sacks and 5 tackles for loss last year, but he might, you know, need to take another step forward to match what Choi was able to do last year. And they've got a young guy in the middle of the defense, Blessman Ta'ala, who started all 14 games, and he had 3.5 tackles for loss himself. You know, maybe he's in line to take another step forward as well. I think it may be worth noting that he only allowed 2.4 yards per play, which is pretty good for a freshman right in the heart of the defense. And, you know, even the other guys who might be in that rotation, guys like Manley Williams, Azia Sayi, and all these guys who saw playing time last year, even if they weren't starting all the games, the only guys who aren't seniors on that front are Ta'ala and Derek Thomas. So it's a pretty critical year, and I think it has to start up front, especially when you look at the sack rate that the defense was able to put forth last year. They were only... Actually, they were 34th in sack rate. I was looking at stuff, right? My apologies. You know, that was one thing that really troubled them throughout the year was their ability to defend against the run. They were 102nd by stuff rate, which means they probably weren't getting as many tackles for loss as they could have. They were also 108th in opportunity rate, which meant that opposing offensive linemen were able to do their job and get their runners at least 5 yards. So that's one of those critical areas that the defense can improve upon. And maybe it'll help that they have, even despite Tavai's absence, a pretty good pair or trio of linebackers coming back who, again, if they can take another step forward, they could be pretty good too in their own right. And I'm talking about guys like Solomon Matotia, Pene Pavihi, who stepped in the lineup to replace Tavai when he was injured later in the year, and Jeremiah Pritchard, who's coming back from injury.
Mm-hmm. And really, I guess the one area I'm concerned about is they didn't get many interceptions last year.
That's true.
That might be their biggest thing defensively. They bring back their entire secondary, their top basically four or five guys. And one guy to look at is Rogestre Mint-Ferris, pretty good name. He had 11 PBU, so if he can keep that going. But picks, interceptions is what they really need to. They only had four in the secondary all year, and they had zero from linebackers and one from their defensive line. That's only, what, six, two, or five? They need to get – I don't care who it comes from. Likely the secondary is what you want, but that's the one area where if they get some picks and have a better turnover margin, that's the, probably the biggest area they could improve upon on defense, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, the secondary too also has a lot of guys coming back. Mm-hmm. But it might be some of the new arrivals who make the biggest difference. One guy I think that a lot of people have their eye on is another JUCO guy in Cortez Davis, who is he's another one of those guys who's made a really strong early impression at camp, as well as, you know, maybe true freshmen like Tiger Peterson, which, by the way, that's a great name.
That is.
Or, you know, someone like Trayvon Killens, you know, stepping in. I think locking down that other cornerback spot is going to be really critical, and especially if Ferris can turn some of those passes defended into interceptions in 2019, yeah, that might be all the difference that Hawaii really needs.
That's true. All right, so special teams really quick. What do we got there? Anything to – they bring back most guys there as well. Punter, kickoff guy, place kicker, senior. That's a big deal. Ryan Meskel, who missed only one short field goal, three overall total.
The Lou Groza watch list guy we weren't expecting.
Oh, there we go. That's right. So, hey, what's Mountain West has some good kickers. Cooper Roth, I forget the Utah State guy's name, but he's really good.
Dominic Eberle.
Yeah, Dominic Eberle. I apologize, Aggies fans there. Aggies all the way. Hashtag there you go. Make up for it. The return game could be a touch better on punt, but they bring all these guys back. Cedric Byrd, maybe he'll get a few more attempts, which could be interesting to see what he does, depending on what his offensive load is, but special teams looks to be, they're fine, right? They're good to go. Above average kicking, place kicking, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. I think Justice Augafa could be one of those guys that, you know, even if he's not on the same level as someone like a Savon Scarver or an Elijah Lilly, mm-hmm. you know, he was fine last year.
20-plus a return.
On kicks and punts.
Yeah.
But that might be one of those things that, you know, if he can improve just a little bit, you know, for as efficient as the offense was last year, it's maybe worth noting that they were only 91st nationally in average starting field position.
Yeah.
Well, so if that can get bumped up even just to the national average, that might be one of those real subtle things that can make a huge difference in the long run.
For sure. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk schedules. All right, you ready to blast through this, Matt? We got 13 games. We got to be quick, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
So here's what we got. Week zero game. Applause. Thank you. Arizona in Honolulu, Hawaii, Aloha Stadium. It's not the super late kickoff, so here's a chance. If you're week 1-0 and not watching this game, Miami, Florida, I think will be over by this point. I'm pretty sure because it's not going to start at 10:30 Eastern. This is, 7:30 Pacific. What's that, 5:30 Hawaii time? So it's late, but not super late. You better be watching this game. And
We've been waiting all offseason for this. You better watch this game.
I love this game. I like Arizona more than some people do just because Kevin Sumlin's did good things at Houston. Khalil Tate, who's shown flashes of being extremely good the past couple of years and then also extremely not so good. This is going to be a shootout, guaranteed. I think it'll be over-under, probably set like a 60. Take the over.
Yeah.
Easily. It might be 65.
Take the over in this game. You're more interested in Khalil Tate, it seems.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in how this Hawaii team is going to stop J.J. Taylor.
That's a big deal.
Who was very quietly had over 1,400 yards and 5.6 yards per carry last year. He's maybe, I don't know, I can't think of that many Pac-12 running backs.
He is an underrated.
He's definitely in the conversation.
Well, you got Zach Moss from Utah. You have, you know, Benjamin Arizona State. There's some pretty good running backs in Pac-12, and he's probably not getting looked that close enough as he should be.
Yeah, and they've got, you know, a lot of key pieces coming back on the back end of their defense too, which I think could pose a pretty good test for the run and shoot. You know, obviously the big name to keep an eye on is Colin Schooler. Mm-hmm. 21.5 tackles for loss last year.
I think that's pretty good, right?
As well as 3.5 sacks, 2 interceptions, 4 pass breakups, yada, yada, yada. He's pretty good. And Jace Whitaker, who missed all of last year with injuries, he's also coming back. He had 13 pass breakups 2 years ago. So it's going to be a wildly entertaining game.
You know what? Hawaii's going to win. Stupid upset pick. Hawaii Warriors are going to win this game. Calling it.
I mean, I think it'll definitely be a back-and-forth affair.
Points.
But I think that Arizona's ultimately going to pull it out.
They might. They could. I just think Hawaii can get this game. It's for home opener. Arizona's to travel, obviously, across the ocean there. I just think with Khalil Tate being inconsistent a lot last year a little bit, I think it'll be a reason Hawaii could win this one.
All right.
Then they get a bye week, which is fine, sure. They play host Oregon State, which, what is there to say? They're going to beat Oregon State handily.
They're going to beat Oregon State, but I think this also has the potential to be another shootout.
What do you like at Oregon State, then? What do they got?
You know what I've noticed, and this is just like a symptom of maybe being on Twitter too much or something like that.
Not possible.
Pro Football Focus seems to love Oregon State's playmakers in the passing game. And it's maybe worth noting that if Jake Luton is healthy, he wasn't too bad last year. You know, 10 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He completed 62% of his passes. You know, he's back. They've got a guy who nearly ran for 1,400 yards himself as a freshman last year in Jamar Jefferson. He's back. He had almost 6 yards carry. And they're only missing one of their, I'm just going to go down the list, like one among the guys who had at least one target last year, all but one of them are coming back.
They got Isaiah Hodgins is second team really good. Preseason Pac-12 this year, just a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Trevon Bradford is also pretty good himself. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe they're missing a little bit of the explosive element, but that's something that, you know, Hawaii is still going to need to be mindful of, especially with that duo on the outside.
And they have, really, running back Jamar Jefferson, second team All Pac-12. So they have some offensive weapons. So there could be points, but maybe I just don't trust Arizona State. Oregon State, but I think it'll be fine.
I mean, I think Hawaii's going to win this game, mm-hmm. but I think they're going to have to outscore Oregon State to do it.
Also, I'm going to throw some shade at PFF. You know how you said they're great at the playmaking capability? They also said New Mexico State's defense was really good last year.
Yeah,
they can mess up every now and then, but that's my point. Point that out too. Help out our Hawaii fans here. All right, so next we have at Washington. Probably not going to be close at all because Washington. What were they with the coaches' poll today? Were they a top 5 team?
No,
not top 5. Sorry, no, they were 13. I apologize, 12 or 13.
I don't have that in front of me.
I looked at it earlier because you had Oregon and Washington right next to each other. So I don't know why I said top 5. They probably will be at some point, but I think Washington's defense is usually pretty good. Here's what they have with Jake Fromm being the new, or excuse not Fromm, but Eason, their starting quarterback. He hasn't really played too much since Georgia. He's coming into town. He'll be playing this game, obviously, not coming to town. They're going to Seattle for this one. But a newish quarterback who hasn't played in a while. This will be a huge struggle, clearly. I'm not picking Hawaii to win, but the defense will be tested. But I think they will be able to score some points against Washington because who sees this type of offense? It's their first road game of the year as well, so that to consider as well for Hawaii.
Well, I mean, Washington, by defensive S&P Plus, was 4th in the country last year.
So really good, like we said.
They were insanely good on defense last year, but they are also having to replace a ton of production. You know, Greg Gaines has gone off the defensive line. He was their leading tackler on that unit last year. And they're replacing a pair of linebackers in Ben Burke, Kirvin, and Tevis Bartlett. They're replacing, four of their top 5 tacklers in the secondary. Mm-hmm. You know, most of those guys went to the NFL draft, and so I think there's going to be a lot on the plate of the guys coming up behind them to replace them. But I honestly don't think this is going to be close. I think the talent advantage is going to mm-hmm. carry Washington to a win.
Also, really quick, out of the Pac-12 media day, 2 deep, they have just, if I'm correct in here, 1 player on the 2 deep on defense. That's defensive back Miles Bryant.
All right, then.
That just so you know. Then offense, David Bell's Hunter Bryant, tight end. So, and 2 offensive linemen, so that'll be difficult for them. I think they can maybe score some points and make it sort of interesting, but I think you're right. Maybe if it's within, 17 points, that'll be considered a decent showing.
Yeah, that's fair.
They'll beat Central Arkansas. Too bad it's not at that purple and gray field on the road there in Central Arkansas, wherever they play, but it's a win.
Oh, they have a purple field?
Purple and gray field, Central Arkansas Bears, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
There you go. Then they go to Nevada, the first conference game of the year. It's going to be on some sort of ESPN network there in Mackey Stadium. When we talked about a Nevada preview, we still don't know who the quarterback is even now. People like Malik Henry to lead the way, possibly. I have this as a loss, partly because it's on the road, and Nevada has a great home field advantage. We know what Jay Norville's wanting to do there, and Tuatua, running back, I've heard he's pretty good, and he'll probably shred this Warriors defense. And I think it'll be close. It'll be another exciting game. I just think that road element in Reno will be too tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you take a step back and you look at the beginning of non-conference play, if Hawaii's going to reach their ceiling, they're going to have to get off to a fast start. Because, you know, you go at Nevada, and then you have a bye, and then you go at Boise State.
And then host Air Force.
You know, even with the week off, yeah, and then they also host Air Force. So even with the week off, that's about as tough a stretch as any team is going to face conference play anywhere in the conference.
I have them going 0-3 in that stretch.
I think that, you know, Nevada is definitely one of those winnable games.
I think Air Force at home is as well, possibly, but not as much.
And I definitely think you're right. It's gonna be. It's one of those things where it's really hard. There's a lot of coin flip games, and maybe it's worth noting that by S&P Plus, it's not. They're not giving Hawaii terrible odds against the Wolfpack. It is 36%, which is maybe a touch low, but they do have that Falcons game at 51%, so it could be a very close call when all is said and done.
Yeah, for sure, and there'll be some good games. We'll see what happens, but I think they can go 1-3. If I'm going to pick one game, it's going to be Nevada.
See, I think that I would take Air Force.
Just because it's at home?
Yeah, because I think that they showed that they know how to play against a ball control team, and one of the things that Air Force has struggled with, which we've talked about on their podcast more at length, is just the fact that they've given up big pass plays for several years now. And if there's one thing that Hawaii can do, it's create a big play in the passing game.
It's true.
So I do have it as an Air Force win, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Hawaii actually did steal that one at home.
I could say too. I just think the front end's easier than after playing those teams.
Yeah.
So then you go to New Mexico. Come on, victory.
That's a win, yeah.
Fresno State, I picked that as a win at home. It's going to be.
I have that one as a loss.
It's a bold pick for me, for sure. What they did last year, I should have that in front of me. But when Fresno plays, like, we know what the defense can do. Maybe it's just me being a bit higher or bullish, and that's maybe not the best pick to make because it's at home, which gives them that advantage clearly. It's after New Mexico, which should be an easier competition to go up against, but that Fresno State defense is. We know it's still going to be fine, even losing like Jeff Allison, one or two other guys. They got plenty of people back there. Secondary's experience. You heard what we talked about in our show last whenever we did Fresno, but then again last year it was 50-20. You know what I mean? So it's like, what am I doing here?
I mean, they hung around for a little while against the Bulldogs defense, and you know, because they are replacing so much on that defense, you could make the argument that maybe they catch them in a little more by surprise, just because there are so many new pieces coming into the starting lineup. But then, you would have said the same thing last year, and that went sideways after about a quarter and a half.
So. I would say this. Fresno is not going to be as good, and like the difference between these two teams are a touch closer than last year.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a gut feeling a little bit. And like I don't think either of us – would you be too surprised if Hawaii were to win this one?
I mean, a little bit.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm pretty optimistic about Fresno
there's
State
that
being
too,
able to replace
so. But I just think, like you've heard me before, year two of this run and two, it should be pretty good. So
yeah,
this is a bold pick, but probably more bold than my Arizona pick, despite them having the exact same odds in this game of percentage, 31%. So San Jose State, victory, right?
Yeah.
At UNLV, it's for the Golden Pineapple. I have this as a loss.
So did I.
That's right. Partly because I don't remember what we said in the Rebel podcast. Maybe we should go back and listen to it to see what we said exactly. But I think for me, it depends on Armani Rogers' health. If he's healthy, they could be overachieve what we picked at 3-9.
Yeah.
So this would be their biggest win of the year, which is kind of shocking a little bit. But it's on the road. These teams are rivals. They played for a while. And we know UNLV has potential. But just overall, it's a road game for Hawaii. They don't play well in the mainland for the most part. And so... Wasn't there something we mentioned real quick? I know we're going to finish really quick. Wasn't there some stat you mentioned, like Mountain Division road teams they haven't beaten like forever last year? Do you remember that?
Oh,
it was something pretty extreme, like one or zero wins against. But this is a West Division team, so all right, let's just wrap up. We don't need to dive into that. So
I don't remember that.
I vaguely remember if we kind of vaguely do, but San Diego State at home, it's going to get another victory because. I don't like the Aztecs as much this year. Is that a good enough reason?
Well, I think if we're going to be more specific, I'm lukewarm on their offense's ability to keep up with the defense. Even if the defense is a little bit better at slowing down the passing game than they were in last year's matchup, I just don't really see the path forward.
Because, you know, Ryan Agnew and all, right?
If you gave me a choice between Ryan Agnew and Cole McDonald, I would take Cole McDonald.
Give me... Agnew's near the bottom of my quarterback pecking order at the moment. So go check out my QB post-spring power rankings, which will update after week zero. Yeah, after week zero, I'll
prepare to get all over again.
Yeah, so we'll see. Whatever. All right, Army. Overrated. Can we see Army's going to be overrated this year?
Yes, we can.
They are getting votes in the first coaches poll, which is – here's the thing. They're going to be a pretty good team, I think, a solid team. But I think most of it's based off of last year.
They're not a top 25 team.
No, they're not. I know we talked about it before, but didn't they lose their starting quarterback?
I thought Calvin Hopkins was coming back.
Maybe we should double check on the fly here. But here's the thing.
It's been a while since we talked about the Black Knights.
Their schedule outside of Michigan is extremely soft. And here's the thing. It's similar to Air Force. Their talent may not be there to other teams, but the way their offense goes, you're going to be a teams are going to hate playing against them because the triple option they do, more traditional option they do, is very difficult to defend. So even like when they play Michigan, he's a senior this year. He'll be back, Calvin Hopkins, which is huge for them. So here's the thing. Even though they're a senior, talent may not be there. They don't have – they're not – whoever they're playing, maybe overmatched, top 10 team, top 5 team. They're going to give Michigan a game for a little bit. But here's the thing. Oh, yeah. It's end of the season. That surprise is sort of gone. Hawaii's already played Air Force, which is a similar style. And who knows what New Mexico will do, because they may bring that element back a tiny bit. But I think overall Army, it's looking at last year, it's two contrasting styles. This was a pretty exciting game last year, if I recall, when they played.
Hawaii got down to the 11-yard line on their last drive, mm-hmm. but couldn't close the deal.
Couldn't quite get
and
it done.
And if you go back and look at post-game win expectancy, just based on Bill Connolly's five factors, they were 93% to win that game, and they lost it.
That's brutal. But yeah. It's like Army, like they have guys who are coming back and all that stuff, but they lose talent on their team. And maybe it's the running back I'm thinking of losing. I'm checking right now. No, they have
Wolfork.
That's what it was. That's who's gone. Yeah, Wolfork had 14 TDs, but there'll be guys step up and take that place and be fine. There'll be that guy.
Difference to me. There's actually two big differences. Defense? One, this game is at home this time.
Yeah, you're not playing that 6 a.m. local kick against Army.
Two, that Army defense is not going to be as good this year as it was last year because they are replacing a ton of production.
Fact.
And, by the way, that defense last year in this particular game gave up 8 yards per play. If Hawaii can do that again, they're going to win this game going away.
So you think it'll be an easy victory for the Warriors?
I think it'll be a fairly easy win, yeah.
I think it'll be a good, like maybe it'll be sort of close because, like I said, the offense makes it difficult against some teams. So... to wrap up here, I have them at 8-5 going to a bowl game. Remember, they only need 7 wins to go to a bowl game. And if they are bowl eligible, outside of going to a New Year's Six game, they're going to be at home.
I have them at 6-7.
No!
3-5 in conference.
Oh, my conference record really quick. 3-4 wins in conference.
But again, this is the kind of team where it's not going to take much for them to make a huge impact in the conference race.
Yeah, it's just a 3-game stretch.
Like I'm at the moment, I'm feeling more optimistic about teams like Nevada and Air Force mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But those are games that Hawaii could definitely win.
Like if I'm being super optimistic, I could have Hawaii 10-3, beating. Mm-hmm. Here's why: beating UNLV, and then beating one of those three. In Nevada, Boise, Air Force.
No, I get that.
But then again, I also have Arizona, which is kind of out on a limb a little bit as well. And Fresno, too. And so, really, maybe 8-5 is fine compensating those two. Arizona, Fresno could swap out for UNLV and, say, at Nevada.
I guess we'll find out.
We'll see. But
you know what's one promise?
What is it?
they're going to be super fun to watch all season long.
I'll promise something else. I'll promise a bowl game.
Okay.
Does Nick Rolovich come after me for that? Because he did come at us on Twitter about something karaoke, but would not elaborate or give us a clip of what he does. So
that's very disappointing.
Hey, Coach Rolovich, if you're listening, which please be listening, let him know. I predict you to a bowl game, which means I would like a 30-second, you know, let's do fair, 15-second clip of you doing what you want to do on. He did the Grease song, I think, what he said on Twitter.
That's what he said.
Send us, was it Summer Love, right?
Yeah.
Give us a 10-second clip of Summer Love for me predicting you to a bowl game. Is that fair trade?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so we got to wrap it up here really quick. I think we answered the questions. If not, we'll do our big preview because we got to go tonight. Sorry, folks, about questions. But, Raj, they're going to the bowl game. I'm calling it. So you can side with Matt and whatever. I don't care. All right, MWR.com is our website. Twitter, Facebook. We're on Instagram occasionally with our top 52 countdown this year. And we have one more preview left. It's Boise State. And we can now say, Matt, it's football month.
Thank goodness.
It is here. And we'll be back next time to talk Boise State. We'll see you, folks.